Stand by for the Terry Saul Show in 5, roll tape, 4, cue Terry, 3, bring audio up, 2, stand by, 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. Today's Terry Saul Show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. Today's special guest is my friend Barbara Chesbro. Good morning, Barbara. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
It is morning, isn't it?
It's still.
Yeah. Now, you've got a big deal coming up on the boat tonight. We're going to be getting into that here in a little bit. It's Passover, right?
It's Passover for the next week. And we start tonight with the first Seder. And we'll be doing that sort of a traditional style, which my guest, Rabbi Perlstein, will explain why we do the things we do. We've just have people that have been coming for years, and they seem to love having it because it's right. Not a three-hour religious or five-hour religious dinner.
I had it once over at your house a few years ago, and it didn't. It wasn't a 15-minute ordeal.
No, it's not.
It ran a while.
No, but we're using the book called The 30-Minute Seder. And what that will basically do is explain each tradition in very succinctly. Right. And then we'll have the food to celebrate.
And we have with us in studio Rabbi Perlstein. Did I get that right?
You got it right. Yes.
All right. It's good to see you again. You were here a couple of years ago with the gal from, the Holocaust survivor.
Yeah.
We just replayed that interview a few weeks ago, and we still get a lot of unbelievable.
Fascinating.
Yeah, she was. We actually drove her to the airport to take her back.
Right.
And the exciting part about that was when we were sitting in the airport there, Richard went with us. She was looking at this little food booth across from us, and it was clam chowder.
Yeah.
And she just looked at that, and I asked her, I said, have you ever had clam chowder before? And she shook her head, no. So I went over there, and I got a bowl for her, one for myself and Richard. She ate all of hers, and then she started staring at my bowl, so I just slid it across, and she polished mine off too. But she had never had clam chowder before.
Yeah.
And just a real fascinating. Okay, Rabbi, you're in this room here. You're dealing with a Catholic boy who has no clue what Passover is.
Clue so, you have?
No, I have no clue. So I'm going to ask you questions about this because I don't know what it is. It starts tonight, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Saturday night is the first night.
Okay.
Most traditions outside of Israel have two-night Seder. So you do Saturday night and Sunday night.
What is a Seder?
A Seder is the traditional Passover meal.
Okay.
That is organized in 18 to 20 steps on different things that we do to help us relive and experience the Passover Exodus and Seder, as we'll go through in just a little bit.
Okay.
In more of a personal manner and make it practical, make it real.
Okay. When you cook, are you cooking something special? Are you preparing?
So
you don't say cook, you say prepare, right?
Cook, prepare, they're all the same.
Okay.
Me personally, I mean, the kitchen has a way of kicking me out every time I go in there.
I can relate to that.
So, you know, I have my wife and other volunteers in the community are doing the cooking, and trust me, the food comes out a whole lot better when they do that.
Barbara has a way of kicking me out of the kitchen when I go in, too.
Yeah.
Just get out of here. Yeah. So, but you have a huge family.
I do.
And so what if you said eight children?
Eight children.
Eight kids. How old is the oldest one?
The oldest is 15.
Okay, and he had an event about 2 years ago.
Bar mitzvah.
Yeah. And I was asked to come down, and what an event that was.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there was more hooping and hollering and dancing. Yep.
Yeah.
But what I was impressed with was the different language that he spoke. What was that?
He spoke Hebrew, and he spoke Yiddish, and then he gave a speech in English. So, yeah. He gave a discourse that was a blend of Hebrew and Yiddish together.
All right. Now, he's not from the area here now, is he?
So he's studying out in Chicago now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you get a chance to get out there and see him?
Or bring him back home.
Yeah.
Good. As he is now.
And how old is your youngest?
My youngest is 2.
Okay. Oh, the headaches are going to begin with that one pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. But right now, he's still a ball of joy.
Yeah.
You know, they all are, really. But, you know, there's a purity to the joy when they're younger.
Now, don't you on Friday nights have a special feast that you have to do? What is that?
So, every Jewish holiday is marked with food.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, for sure. Some people say that if you want to sum up all Jewish holidays, it's, you know, they tried to kill us, we survived, or sometimes we even won a war. Let's eat.
There you go.
You know, and drink, of course. You can't have the two, one without the other.
See, my mom was the old little old Italian lady, and every Sunday was a meal.
Yeah, exactly.
And it didn't matter who you were or what, you came to the house, you sat down and you ate. And if you weren't hungry, you still sat down and ate.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. The Jewish grandmothers are the same way.
Yeah.
You know, if there's something going wrong, eat.
That's right.
And if you ate too much, eat some more, right?
Yep. My mom's philosophy was a meatball will solve everything.
That's right.
You know, the bigger, the better.
We do matzo balls.
Matzo ball matzo soup. Ball. Matzo ball soup is the Jewish penicillin, yeah.
What is matzo ball soup?
So it's soup, and the matzo balls are made out of, like, they're fluffy, like a
Barbara?
Like a kugel. Not kugel. I was trying to think. But it's
like a dumpling.
Jewish dumpling, yeah. Right. And it's made from matzah, which is the unleavened bread, and then egg, and then we roll it in a ball and cook it in this chicken soup. And then you eat it with your chicken soup.
Now tonight you're preparing a big feast on the boat. For Passover. What are you doing here? Shouldn't you be cooking?
Yes. As soon as I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But we will be doing the traditional matzo ball soup. And we even have gluten-free matzo balls this year because of requests. The entire dinner, the Seder plate, I had to get lamb shank bones and for each one of the little plates.
Okay.
And I'll let him explain more about what it is. But yeah, it's been kind of like a whole couple of weeks of collecting the right ingredients, because Safeway in Portland is the only store that you can get everything.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you order it in line, I guess, from back east. There's a gefilte fish, which I know you're going to love. Only Fruma knows how to cook it. So I had to get the same gefilte fish for Passover and get instructions on how to prepare that the way she does. But everything will be cooked as kosher as I can make it non-kosher kitchen.
All right. Take me through the process, Rabbi. You get to the house. What's the first thing you do? I mean, the first thing I would do is look for a meatball.
Right.
But you get there. What do you do?
Passover night?
Yes.
So
that's tonight, correct?
Yes, tonight.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Passover would be tonight. So the first thing that you would do is with every Jewish traditional meal, is you fill up a cup of wine. And you bless the day over some wine.
Okay.
And there's a prayer that goes along with it, commemorating what it is you're commemorating that day. So the Friday nights, there's something special every Friday night.
Okay.
Passover, there's a special kiddush, as it's called.
Say that again?
Kiddush.
Kiddush.
So, which is to sanctify the day over a cup of wine.
Okay. The wine, does it matter? Is there a certain type of wine? Is it red wine, white wine? I mean, what?
So, yeah, generally red wine, white wine is fine too, really, so long as it's kosher.
Okay.
Kosher wines. There's a special way that wine is made for it to be kosher. So, here in Salem, Trader Joe's carries a number of kosher wines. They actually brought in the blue Bartonura bottle that everybody loves. Just for Passover.
Are we having kosher wine tonight?
Yes, we went and bought our supply.
Okay. What, is it the stuff that I like, though?
Yes, it is. You will like this very much.
Barbara knows what I like more than I know what I like.
Unfortunately, however, because we're cruising, you cannot drink until we dock, and you cannot
What's that all about?
I'm sorry, that's a Coast Guard rule.
All right. So after we have some wine, then what happens?
So let me share just a little story, as they say. You know, someone who didn't know much about a Seder decided to show up and come to a Seder. And he's like, he hears that it's this big meal and it's this big, wonderful thing. And he sits down and they take out wine and then they break the matzah and then they have a little bit of onion and then they dip it in salt water and then they sit and they talk for about an hour. And then after that, they eat the cardboard. And then after that, they eat some bitter herbs and then they put the bitter herbs in the cardboard. And at that point, he's like, I'm done with all of this. And he storms out. And had he just waited five more minutes, he would have had the big Seder meal.
Yeah.
So not typical Jewish meal, Passover, there's a lot of steps before you get to the actual food.
Okay. You said he eats cardboard?
You know, that was the joke of it. But the matzah is so thin.
Don't be throwing me any curves here. Don't be throwing me curves. I'm listening to everything you're saying here.
The matzah that is kosher for Passover, you can't have any preservatives or anything of that nature. So it's simply wheat and water mixed together, cooked really quickly, rapidly. So it's a thin cracker. And so it's like it's a
like tasteless, a wafer or some type?
Yeah, it's a tasteless piece of cracker. And that's the matzah. That's what there's tradition why we do it. That's what the Jews ate when they left Egypt.
Okay.
They didn't have time. They had to leave in such haste. They didn't have time to bake anything, so they threw it on their backs and they let it, the sun bake it.
What's the significance of the onion?
So that's one of the steps of the Seder. The idea
is it really an onion, or you just mess with my mind again?
No, onion. That really, this one's real onion.
Okay.
Not like that, you know.
Cardboard?
Yeah, not like the cardboard. An onion, some people use a tomato, a potato. It has to be basically a vegetable fruit.
And what do you do with the
onion? And you dip it in salt water, and then you eat it, and you make a blessing over it. And the idea also is to have some bitter herbs during the Seder, which is horseradish root ground up, and it's really bitter. Both ideas are to remind ourselves of the back-breaking labor that took place while we were slaves in Egypt. You know, it was hard, it was tough, there was crying, there was sweating, there was... It was back-breaking labor. To try in some manner to conceptualize that today is so hard because we're so removed from such a reality through eating and experiential Judaism, if you want to call it that. You can try your best to understand what the mind frame and the reality was back then and be thankful for what we have today.
So continue with the evening then.
So the evening started with the Kiddush, the blessing of the wine. After that, we wash our hands, as we do before we have anything dipped in, anything that's soaked in water, which would be a potato or an onion. You have the onion, you make a blessing on that, and you eat that together. After that, you...
Are you using your fingers to eat? Are you using silverware?
Yeah, fingers primarily. And again, it's each Seder is run a little differently, but some people have it pre-cut and put on bowls throughout different tables.
Okay.
Some people... have onions and you cut it yourself there. Everybody has their own thing. And even that, a lot of the families, more often than not, most families that are sitting together, each person's going to have a Seder plate that has a lot of these items on it ahead of time.
Okay.
And the Seder plate has 7 items on it. And then underneath it, you have 3 matzahs so that you can go through matzahs, that cracker. You have the 3 matzahs underneath the Seder plate so that you can go through the Seder and not have to stand up 10 times to get everything from the kitchen.
This is kind of confusing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why you have guides and instructions. You know, once you do it once, you start getting the hang of it. And after a few years, it kind of like becomes something that you look forward to each year because it's so unique.
So after the meal is done, then what are we doing?
After the meal?
Yeah.
There's no after the meal, really. By then, you're probably zonk because we're also having 4 cups of wine.
Okay.
4 cups of wine, or if you can't have wine, you have grape juice, you know.
Barbara, can I have wine?
I have a grape juice just for you.
Wonderful.
Well, once we dock, I'll have them all lined up for you.
Okay.
All 4, and if you, I'll give you permission. If you need to add a 5th at that point, you could.
I knew there's a reason why I liked you.
So okay. There's 4 cups of wine throughout the evening as well. It's broken up, and before the meal, really, one of the more important parts of the whole Seder is to tell the story of the Exodus, and there is a there's a handout. There's a Haggadah, as it's known.
Haggadah?
Yeah, good job on the first try. Really good.
I'm getting this.
The Haggadah, you know, before you know it, you'll be wearing a yarmulke. And,
we're going to talk about that on our next segment.
In a minute.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's right.
You'll be our adopted Jew.
There we go. We do need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest. We're talking with Rabbi Pearlstein and my friend Barbara Cheeseborough from, what did I say, Cheeseborough?
It's close enough.
Jeez. From the Willamette Queens. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM, 1220 AM. Today's show, of course, is being brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule State Farm Insurance. We'll be back with more in just a minute. Stick around. We're just getting warmed up.
You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. You know, when it comes time to move into a new home, it's time to consider Don Lule Homes. The Lule difference is simply setting the bar for quality service in Salem. Find out today about custom-built new home. Don Lule Homes offers open floor plans, quality craftsmanship, and over 50 years of excellent experience in new construction. Beautiful homes are coming soon. Call today and ask for Erica at 503-428-6992. Don Lule Homes.
Wow. We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
Welcome back to The Terry Saul Weekend Show. We are talking with Rabbi Perlstein and my friend Barbara Chesborough from the Willamette Queen. Tonight is the beginning of Passover. It is tonight, though. It wasn't Friday night last night?
That was Sabbath.
Sabbath.
That's different than what we're doing tonight.
Okay. And why is that different? What was Sabbath, Rabbi?
Sabbath is weekly.
Okay.
Passover is just once a year.
All right.
So every Friday night we have a meal and a dinner to sit down and celebrate our day of rest, the beginning of our day of rest. And then we have another one Saturday afternoon.
There's some certain traditions on the Friday night event, isn't there?
Correct.
Like
we spoke before, making Kiddush.
Okay.
You make a sanctify the day over a cup of wine. You have 2 loaves of bread, specific challah bread, the braided challah bread.
Challah bread?
Yeah. And then there's...
I'm going to learn this language before I'm done here today.
Well, yeah.
Challah bread.
Yeah, exactly.
What is that?
The challah bread. You haven't had it before?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
You fixed
the
before,
braided,
Barbara.
The braided challahs?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
And then there's chicken soup like we spoke before and gefilte fish, which is another loaf-style fish that is made.
But during this event, you're not allowed to use electricity, or is it not allowed to use your phones, or what? How does that work?
So for religious Jews, and myself included, we use electricity. We don't turn on. We don't create. The idea of a day of rest is that we stop creating in the world.
Okay.
We let the world rest as well as ourselves. So creative energy is what we pause from. So turning on a light or striking a match is creative energy. So you turn on whatever lights you need before Shabbos, which would start Friday night, and you leave it on until Saturday night. And then once Saturday night is over, once the Shabbat, the Sabbath is over, then we could turn off lights and turn them back on.
So does that include television and everything?
Television and everything else, yeah. So a
with
break
eight
from
children,
TV,
what do you do?
It's actually really nice.
Yeah.
A break from your cell phones and a break from TV and a break from the chaos in the world to be able to focus on just the family. Go on family walks, you play games, you sit around a table, you study, you pray.
Nice.
It's a beautiful, beautiful time.
Right. You're wearing a yarmulke. Did I say
That's
it right?
You did.
I've been practicing on that one.
Good.
What is the significance behind that?
So yarmulke comes from a Hebrew word that's actually 2 words. It's an abbreviation of 2 words. Yare Malka is the Hebrew words that it comes from, which means translated as fear of the Almighty. So
okay.
A yarmulke, which is Yare Malka, represents the fact that we aspire to a higher calling. There's something beyond me that I answer to. There's something beyond any man, really, that I answer to. And it's not a system that controls me as much as it's a God that I aspire to. So in some manners, it plays as a uniform, and in some manners, it plays as a reminder to myself. More often than not, today, whenever you go to any religious ceremony, people are covering their heads out of respect. I cover my head out of respect because God is everywhere with me all the time. Out of respect, I cover my head, not only for God, but for myself as a reminder.
So you wear it every day?
24 hours a day. Sleep with it, and I wear it.
Do you really? How do you keep it on when you're sleeping?
You know, we create, after wearing it so long, there's like an intimate relationship there. You know, we have an agreement. It doesn't fly off, and I don't take it off.
Now, see, if you have a bald spot like I do, that would be
right.
Good to just stick it back there and cover,
and cover the bald spot,
yeah.
Right? So they say that, you know, the 2,000-year-old man, Mel Brooks and stuff, you ever heard that one?
Yeah.
So he says that that's where it originally came from. You know, a rabbi had to cover his bald spot, and before you know it, it became it.
Okay, you don't shower with it, do you?
No, you know, sometimes got it.
Okay, well, I'm just checking here, just trying to figure this whole thing out here. This is all new to me here.
Good question, though. No. Take it off for showering, swimming, or whatever else might be, but the rest of the time I'm wearing it.
And your family, the kids, they all wear it?
The boys, yeah.
The boys are. Why is it just for the male?
The men in general need a lot more reminders than the women about spiritual things and keeping themselves in line and in check. So the men have more physical resemblances than the women do.
Okay.
In our tradition.
When I went to the event for your son, the bar mitzvah,
yeah,
they gave me one and says, here, go ahead and put this on.
Yeah.
But being a Catholic, is it okay to do that still?
I Absolutely.
Mean, is it anybody? I don't know anybody can wear one, but I mean, is the significance for me as a non-Jew,
so
is
for
it okay?
Me, for me, I don't care if someone wears one or not. But, you know, the idea is when coming to like a bar mitzvah or community setting, everybody is wearing one. Do you want to be the one in the room not wearing one? So it's more of like a fitting in or making everyone feel comfortable by offering a yarmulke to everybody. It's 100% okay for a non-Jew to wear a yarmulke, and it's 100% okay for a Jew to not wear one if they don't want to. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not here to tell everybody that you have to, but there's a lot of reason and significance mm-hmm. in why we do as Jews.
What age did you start wearing one?
3 years old is when we start as a official traditional beginning. Yeah.
Okay, so there's an age limit where you start that up and...
Yep. At three, in my tradition, is when you bring a child into the world of education. So you start educating them on how to live as a Jew and how to live as a human being. And one of those things is to start wearing a yarmulke.
Interesting.
Does it have anything to do when they get their hair cut at three?
Yes. So, okay. Well, that's more Hasidic, though, too.
Well, see, that's the next question. Yeah. You get your hair cut. By wearing that all day long, you're going to have a certain flat spot there when you get the hair cut.
Yeah. Although mine hasn't really thinned out under my yarmulke. It's the other spots that I'm worried about.
The other question I have is the beard.
Yes.
You've got a long beard there. I love it. It looks great. Mine would be all gray, so I don't do it. And I noticed that when we were at your son's event, there's a lot of men wearing the long beard.
Yeah.
What's the reason for that?
So it's also biblical. They're similar. It says that a human being is, a man actually in particular, is compared to a field, and a tree in a field. And just like there's laws when it comes to fields biblically, there are laws that we have with regards to grooming ourselves. So there's a concept of leaving the four corners of a field for the poor, and there's a concept of leaving the four corners of a person's face unshaven. So the four corners of a face is round. So what are the corners? So the corners really are from the cheekbone. It's the face itself. The cheekbone and then the two bones down at the corner of the chin. Technically, biblically, you could shave here and here, but that would just look funny, right? So therefore, you just allow the whole thing to grow and grow it out nicely.
So when was the last time you shaved?
I've never touched my beard. This is
ever?
From peach fuzz till now.
Serious?
Yeah.
May I ask how old you are now?
Almost 39.
Okay, so you probably started the peach fuzz around 14, 15, around there?
Yeah, where my son is right now, some of that peach fuzz.
And you've never shaved?
I've never shaved.
I like that.
Yeah. That's also why it comes in a little easier. It's not as thick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a little more natural.
We need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest. Today's show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. More in just a minute.
Shopping for car insurance? Get the very best coverage with State Farm agent Teresa Lule in Salem. State Farm keeps you and your family covered with great auto insurance that's also a great value. Visit online at teresalule.com or on Facebook. Better yet, stop in the offices at 890 Commercial Street Southeast in Salem or call 503-378-1100.
We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. You know, when it comes time to move into a new home, it's time to consider Don Lule Homes. The Lule difference is simply setting the bar for quality service in Salem. Find out today about custom-built new home. Don Lule Homes offers open floor plans, quality craftsmanship, and over 50 years of excellent experience in new construction. Beautiful homes are coming soon. Call today and ask for Erica at 503-428-6992. Don Lule Homes. We are back. This is the Terry Saul Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host. Today we're talking with my friend Barbara Chesbrough and Rabbi Perlstein. Today is the beginning of Passover. Where did that begin?
When did it begin?
Yeah.
Good question. It began with the, I guess you could even say, slavery of the Jewish people in Egypt. So 3,300 and 600 something years ago is when the events that we celebrate today transpired. And then 3,332 years ago, the Jewish people were redeemed and left Egypt after a 240-year slavery. They miraculously were redeemed by God, and they marched their way to Mount Sinai, and it was actually their first year that they celebrated Passover was still while they were in captivity. as there was chaos going on in Egypt. And God told the Jewish people, celebrate your redemption now while you're still there. And that's when the plague of the firstborn, the death of the firstborn took place, and the first sacacrifice was brought regarding Passover was stolen.
How does that work, the death of the firstborn?
So there, in order for the Jewish people to leave Egypt, the biblical story is that Moses came along by word of God to tell the Pharaoh, who kept the Jews in slavery, to free him. And he was stubborn and didn't want them to go. So God brought 10 plagues, blood, frogs, lice, wild animals, etc., etc., each one with an opportunity. Free them now. Nope, not going to free them. Well, then here's what's going to happen. And the truth of the matter is there's a lot of study that goes into it beyond what we have for the show right now. But each plague was an attack at the system and pagan concepts that permeated Pharaoh and Egypt. And slowly but surely, each plague tore that apart to the extent where they came begging to turn to God and tell the Jewish people to leave. And the last plague was the worst. And that was that every firstborn in the land of Egypt was going to die. Now, God told the Jewish people that they're going to be redeemed. And in order to be able to save themselves, they need to bring a sacrifice, which was an animal, a lamb, which was at the time one of the gods of the Egyptians. But that was the point, to slaughter what they believed was a god and take its blood and put it on the doorposts of every home. And any home that had a blood-stained doorpost is where God officially passed over and did not slay the firstborn. And then it was the next morning that they were told, get out, please leave, we don't want any more of this. And the Jewish people packed their stuff in haste and left Egypt.
So they have to designate the sacrifice of that firstborn? I mean, do they have to say, okay?
So the sacrifice was a lamb.
Okay.
Or a goat or a sheep, whatever it was. And that was already designated a few days ahead of time. They had to take it into their house and they had to tie it to the bedpost and they had to wait until the night before until they slaughtered it. So it was all in protection of what was to come. You didn't have to designate anybody.
Okay.
God knew exactly who was what. And throughout the land of Egypt, every single firstborn was killed. The Egyptians firstborn, that was. And there was a great cry out to, we can't stand this anymore. We got to let these Jewish people leave.
And how long did that happen? I mean, over the years, why was it?
The death of the firstborn?
Yes.
Oh, one night.
Okay.
In one night, this whole thing happened.
Really?
And then the next morning, Pharaoh came running, they say in his pajamas. If they had pajamas back then, I'm sure they had pajamas or something.
Rose.
A certain kind of robe, you know? Yeah. More pattern, you know? Had Power Rangers on it. But he came running in his night clothing to find Moses and tell him, okay, I'm done with this. You guys could all leave. Get out.
And they did. You are Jewish. I am Catholic. Do we have the same God?
To a certain extent, yes, 100%. The difference is that in Catholicism and in Christianity as a whole, there's a focus on a Savior who could or could not be God, depending on what group in Christianity you ask. Judaism doesn't focus on a Savior. We focus on the God. And the God that you focus on, or your Savior focuses on, is the same. Creator of heaven and earth. The one that redeemed the Jews from Egypt. The one that creates miracles and defies nature. It's the same God that you and I worship.
All right, let's continue with this. Passover has been going on for how many years now? Thousands?
3,300 something. Yep.
Okay. And is it pretty much the same, obviously, 3,000 years different? Is it pretty much the same now as it was back then?
So there's similarities. There are certain things that we've taken, but ever since the destruction of the temple 2,000 plus years ago, it is the same since then. So for a couple thousand years, we're practicing it the same way.
Okay. You are a rabbi. What is a rabbi?
So a rabbi is just someone who studied enough to get a title and get tested on certain things, certain Jewish concepts, to where you now have the authority to teach those ideas. Doesn't mean that someone who doesn't have a rabbinic degree can't teach. On the contrary, Judaism very much encourages if you know something, teach something. But a rabbi is someone who took the time and the years to sit and study, just like any degree. So I have a BA in rabbinics. I have actually a master's.
Okay.
So, but legally, on paper, I can produce a bachelor's degree plus on the studies that I've taken in college, which was all Jewish centered.
Do you teach?
I do.
Where at?
Through my Chabad center that we have. I give classes.
Say that again. You're
Chabad.
Chabad.
There you go. See?
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Chabad Center, which is our Jewish community center here in town that I run. I give classes weekly, Torah classes, Torah portion classes, and then give large JLI classes as well, Jewish Learning Institute classes.
All right. How high can you go? In the Catholic religion, obviously, what's the highest? The Pope?
Yeah.
All right.
I guess so.
How high can you go?
So it's a great question. In Judaism, even if you have a degree, it doesn't make one person holier than the other. From a Jewish perspective, every single person is the same because we're all created in the divine image, as it says early on in the Bible. We all represent the divine. So there isn't really one person that's higher than the other. It really is the way you live your life. And the more you study, the more you know. The more you know, the power, knowledge is power. It's not the level that you attain that gets celebrated. It's the knowledge that you continue to grow as an individual. And the more you grow, the more you'll be recognized for it.
Tonight, of course, is a big event on the Willamette Queen. Are you doing something at your home?
So we're doing something at our home, but because of COVID, it's very hard to meet in person. If I really wanted to, we could have done something outdoors. But I know so many people that are just so uncomfortable with that point at this current junction that we're at. Most people that I know would still stay home even if we offered something in person.
How has this pandemic affected you and your lifestyle and your religion?
So it's affected us tremendously because Judaism is so community-centered, and gathering as a community is vitally important in a Jewish circle. At the same time, I think really it has brought about an idea that Jews have never really thought about, and I think many Jews have struggled with it. Judaism for thousands of years has centered around the home. And I've always said it, and traditional Judaism has always understood that and preached it. The Judaism centers around the home. The synagogue, the community is nice and important, but it's not everything. And if it's not everything, then what is Judaism at home? And the pandemic has really made everybody have to figure that out. What do I do at home to keep up my Judaism? Be told now I was getting that fixed when I went to join a community or a synagogue or whatever it is. How do I practice what I did in synagogue at home? So really what the pandemic has done for the Jewish community was bring it back to where it's supposed to be, home-centered.
Let's just change gears here. A year or so ago, somebody walked into a synagogue back east and opened fire. Did they ever determine whether that was because it was a Jewish facility that they...
Yeah, so that was Pittsburgh.
Right.
And then there was another one in Poway a couple of years ago. Passover.
Barbara, your daughter was just around the corner from that one, wasn't
we
she?
We were in Pittsburgh when that actually happened. Yeah. We were just four blocks away from that synagogue.
It was determined that it was very clearly targeted as a Jewish organization.
Do you feel that people are targeting the Jewish organization?
I do feel that, and we do know from statistics that anti-Semitic attacks are up. That's a fact.
Why?
I think that there's political factors on both ends of the aisle that are reckless with their rhetoric, and therefore encourage anti-Semitism. So the problem is that when we focus only on one part of anti-Semitism, we're ignoring half the problem. So you have a white supremacy issue that has been around since Nazi Germany, but you also have a very big anti-Israel, anti-Zionism movement, which is just as fanatic and just as dangerous.
When you meet people on the street, can you sense if they have some type of hostility towards you?
More often than not, yeah, but it's not. I don't see it a whole lot. When there is hostility, you can recognize it, you can feel it, you can see it.
And what do you do for that?
Usually ignore it. What am I going to do? You know. I do have a carry license, so I'm not all that worried.
Yeah.
But beyond that, there's nothing you can do. It's fueled by ignorance. So giving credence to ignorance is not going to help it.
We need to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere as we're just getting warmed up. Today's show being brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. More with Rabbi Pearlstein and Barbara Chesbrough from the Willamette Queen. in just a moment. Stick around.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. Are you in the market for a new car? Well, if so, I encourage you to do what I do. Head down to Lule's Car Connection. Lule's has been selling quality vehicles for over 30 years. Lule's brokers any new vehicle selling within dealer invoice. And check this out. Lule's has financing with most major lenders and credit unions. So do what I do. Stop by Lule's Car Connection, located at 2055 Mission Street in Salem, and tell them Saltissimo sent you. Lule's Car Connection.
We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry. 2, 1, you're on.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
We are back with the final few minutes on today's show. Today's guest is my friend Barbara Chesbarrow, who I should say my former friend Barbara Chesbarrow, after the remarks she just made about me off the air here, and Rabbi Pearlstein. We're talking about Passover, which begins tonight. Now, a question for you, Barbara. We're talking about this off the air. You don't use regular plates for tonight. You use paper plates, right?
And that's
why?
Just because our dishes and our silverware on the boat are not kosher. And actually, you even have special Passover plates and silverware that you use even when you are, like the rabbi's home, very kosher. Because it's a, what's the word, treif? Is it a...
So it's, Passover, there's no leaven. You take out anything that has anything that could rise, anything that could rise food-wise, we don't eat. So even what you have all year long has to be replaced by something that doesn't have any leaven.
What, doesn't that bread, that, what do you call it, challah
bread? Not during Passover.
So you can't eat that during Passover?
Nope, no donuts, none of those stuff. No
really?
Cookies.
We won't be having anything but paper plates tonight. Does that include paper glasses?
Plastic glasses, everything, because they're mostly because they're washed in the same dishwasher as the plates would be. You just want to keep them as sanitary as possible.
Okay.
All year long, we keep kosher. And then on Passover, we keep kosher for Passover. So it's a whole nother world of separating foods and what is and what isn't used. So the easiest way is just to go paper, plastic all the way through.
Let's talk about some of the takeaway from Passover.
Absolutely. So there's a few concepts that run through the Passover narrative that we try, like I said before, experiential learning is really the best. If you could experience something and learn a lesson from it, that's the best way that human beings learn. And Judaism has been doing that for thousands of years. The Passover Seder has us take away the major concept is freedom. And the one main idea I wanted to share about freedom is that so many people are sharing about freedom. You know, we're living in the world of free and I want to be free. Today, you can ask anybody, what is it that you want today? What do you want in your free world society? Today, because of COVID, people are going to say, I just want COVID to end and not have any restrictions. But really, that's what you don't want. I don't want the suffering any longer. You ask people what they want. I want world peace. I want an end to, global warming or whatever it might be that people's desires are. And all of these ideas are what you don't want. You don't want rising floods. You don't want suffering. You don't want pain. So therefore, you want an end to it. But if you got rid of all of that, what would you do with the freedom that you had? If there was no suffering, there was no pain, what would you do with your freedom? And people don't have an answer to that because they don't know. They just want an end to their suffering. For Passover tells us that you have freedom. You could absolutely be free. Now, what is it that you want your freedom to do? So a lot of people say, I want to go skydiving. I want the thrill. I don't want responsibility. We don't want that either. The truth of the matter is that the human psyche does not want no responsibility. We want the benefits of responsibility without the responsibility, perhaps. We want to work hard and the benefits that come from working hard, but we don't want to have to necessarily work hard. Passover asks us to go a little deeper into our psyche and ask ourselves, what does freedom really mean? Freedom means meaning. Freedom means purpose. Freedom means focus. Freedom means responsibility with the joy of enjoying responsibility. Freedom is relationship. Yeah, everyone would love to live in their 40s and be able to do whatever they want without the responsibility and the demands of marriage. But that's not going to be joyful. That's not going to be meaningful. So what we really want is to be tied down early and have a marriage and live a loyal life. Being free means coming back to what our real, true desires are. And what we want, as we claim we want, is not necessarily what we really need or what we really want in life.
Are you free?
100%. I'm free to think, and I'm free to enjoy life.
Are you enjoying life?
Absolutely, every minute of it.
With 8 kids.
Oh, it's the best part.
I have to say, though, those children are the most well-behaved, loving, giving children. To me, I mean, I look so forward to my visits, to when I can be there with them. It's amazing. I mean, they're just an amazing family.
I remember saying that to you when we were at that bar mitzvah, that I said, geez, these kids are well-behaved.
And respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see them fighting or taking things from each other, or they're just, they care about each other. They protect one another. They watch over each other. It's a very unique family situation.
I think that leads perfectly also into that next takeaway from Passover as well. Wait, you like how I did that?
Oh, that was pretty good.
I'm coming for
your seat. Get you in radio yet.
But the Seder is set up in a way to engage the children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's 4 questions that are asked early on because of the different things. You asked, why do we eating an onion? Why? The real reason is to get the kids to ask questions. Do something different tonight so that they can engage them and tell them we were slaves and we cannot live a victim status. You have to be able to rise above it. You can't just be a product of your environment. You have to influence your environment. Mm-hmm. And get the kids at a young age to realize tonight is something special. What is it that we're special? Well, if you really want to understand what freedom is, you got to first understand what slavery was. You got to understand what oppression was and how valuable the freedom we have to be able to express our truest self is. That's real freedom. To be able to express who you are deepest down, and discovering that through the Passover Seder is very much what it is. So the Seder all night long is really focused on the next generation, children and education, and telling us a narrative that they could understand and getting them engaged.
At what age do you start telling the children about the slavery? And I mean, you don't start that at 3 years old, do you?
If they're able to still stay up by the time the Seder's going on, sure. But as early as possible, I introduce them with children's books about these kind of things at a young age. But yeah, I mean, as early as possible, this is... If this is your identity, this is where you came from, this is who you are, it's never too early to introduce it to them.
We have about 1.5 minutes left. It's all yours.
It's all mine?
It's all yours.
The concept of Passover really is the idea that we as human beings were put on earth not only to serve our own needs and our own desires. It's not what I get out of life. It's not even where I end up after life. It really is about, what does God need from me in this world? Passover asks us to ask that question. Now, people say God doesn't need because he's so great. Well, God creates whatever he needs, and he created a need for human beings. If there was no need for us, we would not be here. So then what is the purpose that I was put on this earth for? And then cherish every moment that we have. We're here for a reason. What is that reason? And we're here, and every moment we're breathing is an absolute gift. Understanding the gift, being grateful about it, and making it count to where we affect the world in a positive way is exactly what the message, main message of Judaism is, but particularly Passover, where we finally became a people and were entrusted with this message. God created a need to have us here. How am I standing up to the plate and doing what I can for it?
If someone would like to get in touch with you, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
JewishSalem.com. Phone number is 503-383-9569.
Barbara, you sold out for tonight?
We have 2 seats left, so you better call quickly if you want them. Mostly because COVID has put such a restriction on the numbers that we can have on the boat. We're restricted to 25 people.
That's it?
And that's it. I mean, we can't have any more.
Who's going to drink all that wine?
Don't ask that question.
Once we dock.
But no, and the tables are all 6 to 8 feet apart.
Yeah.
So we want people to come and feel safe and to enjoy the holiday. And no, we're not going to have 100 people packed in the room, but we are going to celebrate and observe the holiday the best we can.
All right. And the phone number for the boat?
503-371-1103.
All right. Rabbi, this is your second time back. Will you come back a third time for me?
Absolutely.
I have 1,000 more questions I can ask you.
Terry, anytime. All right. It's a pleasure. I enjoy it.
Thank you. We are just about out of time for today's show. Remember, you can catch our show every Saturday at 10 a.m. and a replay Sundays at 6 p.m. right here on Salem's original radio station, KSLM. A reminder, if you missed any of today's show or would like to hear any of my shows, you can always hear a podcast on our official KSLM website at www.kslm.news or on my official website at www.terrysaul.com. If you would like to drop me a note, I'd love to hear from you. My email address is terry@kslm.news. We'll see you next time. Take care and be safe.
You've been listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show is brought to you by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance. That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Good show.
Bye, everybody.